Okay, so now, hello everybody, and welcome, to the second part of the Seven Rays. I offered the first part last time, so this will be a continuation. And on your screen, you should see the major sun, or we can call it our logos. And our logos can be considered on any level, but let's think of it as our solar logos. And it consists of three aspects, which we spoke about last time. The three aspects are the will of God is the first aspect, the second aspect is the love of God, and the third aspect is the intelligence of God. Now, these three are then reflected down into the three rays. So the ray one is reflected down from the will of God, ray two from the love of God, and ray three from the intelligence of God. So the qualities of the three rays, these three rays of abstract, are rather abstract, and they are not that much different than what we assumed the qualities of deity to be of the three aspects. That's why it's called the rays of aspect. The four rays of attributes are in fact attributes of the three rays of aspect, but they flow out of the third ray. That might be a little confusing, but right now this is how we are given the information. It's because the third ray is the ray of intelligence. It was the ray that was perfected in the previous solar system, and hence it pertains to all of civilization and everything that has to do with matter, everything that has to do with intelligence. So out of that flows the other four. And we will find that these four have a lot more to do with things that are more tangible for us than what we're used to with the three rays of attribute. I should mention that we will be offering a time to raise your hand and ask a question. And of course, all of that is dependent on how much time we do have. So right now I've got you all in mute, but we will open that up once we see your hand raised. And you will see that there's a little icon there that looks like a hand with an arrow in it. When the arrow is down, it means your hand is down. When you click it and the arrow shows up, it means your hand is up and I get to see it. I also have wonderful people in the background here who are helping us, and that is Kay and Brett and and Joe. And these three people are there to keep an eye on when you have your hand up and so on. So we will offer you the opportunity, hopefully, after each ray. So now let's get back into the three, or rather the four rays of attribute. Now, on your screen, you'll see that it says that these rays of attributes are more specific. I'm just going to try to move this out of my way so I can see a little bit better. Okay. Just hold on a moment, everybody. Aha, got it. Okay. Still learning how to move through this webinar. It's a new thing for me, and this is still experiment number two. Okay, so the rays of aspect were rather nebulous, as I said earlier, a little bit more abstract, like the qualities of will, love, and intelligence. And these are huge or vast subjects, but they are all breaths of deity. And the rays of attributes are more concrete, as has been said, and identifiable more easily. They're more readily felt and they're more readily seen. One thing to keep in mind with all the rays is that they are not necessarily only pertaining to human beings. We tend to think of the rays as, oh, how does it affect me? What ray is my personality? What ray am I on a soul level? Yes, we do that, but the rays are all around us in every part of our manifestation. They are all equal breaths of God or of deity, and they are all divine lives. The rays of attribute contain something of each of the parenting rays of aspect. And this is important for us to understand and to recognize that we will see similarities within these four rays that pertain to the first three rays of aspect. So the first of the four rays is the ray of harmony through conflict. So this fourth ray is born of the rays of attribute. It's the first one that is born of them. And number one means something, doesn't it? We had number one with the rays of aspect. And so you remember all the things that have to do with number one. And in that way, it shares similar qualities to ray one. It also receives parentage from the second ray, and therefore, as it does, it shares sensitivity, inclusivity, and at-one-ment that it receives from the second ray. And it is the gifts of these two rays that give the fourth ray its tremendous range of expression, as we shall see. Now, before we even go to look at some of the qualities associated with the ray four, ray four happens to be in the middle of the seven. And without me saying too much, I am sure you know what being in the middle must be like. It can't be easy. You're pulled to one side, then the other side, or you're trying to balance being smack in the middle. And that's what ray four actually is like. Even the name of this fourth ray is harmony, but it's not just harmony or at-one-ment or balance, but it's through conflict. So there's got to be a measure of conflict in order to know harmony. But more than anything else, what does this ray look like? What does it want to do? Its energy is one of wanting to come together, of unifying, of at-one-ing. It oscillates just like a teeter-totter does because it's right in the middle. And therefore, it can one side can be up, the other side can be down, and it's got this oscillating effect. This energy wants to link. It wants to bring together, so it links this side with that side. So it just gives you a sense of how the energies work. More than anything, this ray wants equilibrium. It wants peace. It wants at-one-ment. But in order to get that, it does it through drama. And we will see why in a minute, why the drama. And some of the symbols for the fourth ray is the bridge, because the bridge wants to connect, right? It connects two different sides. The seesaw, as has been said, or a pendulum, which swings from side to side. The scales of justice, wanting to find a point of balance. Can we see how opposites exist within this ray? You've got one side, you've got another side, which brings to us the idea of those masks, tragedy and comedy, which are masks. And because it's the fourth ray, the ray of expression, it is considered the artist's palette. Some of the qualities that we find associated with the fourth ray is the desire for peace and beauty, not the love of beauty, but beauty, which is the palette of God from which all is created and made known. Harmony, what does harmony mean? It means equilibrium. It means unity. It means peace, balance, at-one-ment, all words I've already used, and beauty. When something is in harmony, it's beautiful. Now, conflict. What is conflict all about? Conflict is the opposite of harmony. So with those two words, you've already got opposites. So conflict is dissonance. And what does dissonance mean? It's a difference between two or more states that is not in harmony. Conflict is the reality that not everything is in a state of peace or at-one-ment or in harmony. Through conflict or dissonance, one realizes that the current state is not whole. It's not in equilibrium and it's not at peace. But Conflict, as we know, is part of the human condition. Through it, we learn to bring harmony into existence. Why? Because struggling is always pushing us to want to find a place of a wholeness. It is only through struggle that we strive forward. If everything was in harmony, you can be sure we wouldn't move forward. So sometimes the fourth ray person creates conflict because he or she is not comfortable with peace or is seeking balance. Now, that is an interesting thing, isn't it? That sometimes that fourth ray is looks for conflict because it's so identified with the conflict. That's all it knows, that when suddenly it's peaceful and things are in harmony, well, that's a state that's unfamiliar, and we fall back to the familiarity. And that's the state of conflict. Some of this we've already talked about. It's symbols. And the color for the fourth ray, exoterically it's cream and esoterically it's yellow. What we're going to do now is run through a bunch of slides which will give you images and pictures that hopefully will give you a sense of what the ray is, with very little that I need to say about it. It's just to look at the slides and get a sense of the imagery here. So if you haven't found it yet, it's the bridges we're looking at. It's the idea of connecting one side with another. It is the ray of color and the ray of refinement. And the color can be subtle, as in this slide, or bold. But you see how colorful it is? It is the ray of humanity, the fourth ray. And how does humanity learn? Through struggle, through conflict. We are the fourth kingdom, if you count from the bottom up. If you consider the mineral kingdom as first, then you have the vegetable kingdom, then you have the animal kingdom. The fourth kingdom is the human kingdom. So no matter how you look at this, we can't escape the fourth ray. Even if you don't think you have it within your constitution, the fourth ray governs all of humanity. So we all learn through conflict and struggle. We learn to be in a state of peace and harmony. And how does one recognize whether the fourth ray is in them? It's that need to have this sense of beauty and harmony and peace in one's life, and to make it happen, to surround oneself, to be in an environment that we call beautiful or peaceful. And without it, the whole etheric sometimes is in dis-ease. It's beauty all around us. It's the ray of color. Now we come to another quality. It's the ray of pageantry and design. And it's the ray of opposites. Knowing them, bridging them, it's the war between them, and finally their resolution, their harmony, or their coming together in a form of at-one-ment. Conflict is part of the human condition. You can't get away from it. It seeks peace. Now, in your mind's eye, you need to have a sense, who are the ones that try to bring peace to humanity? They are, of course, your mediators that are constantly trying to create peace, bringing the two opposite sides together to create a sense of peace. Now, it's the ray of drama. It's the ray of improvisation, of spontaneity, and it's really the umbrella, the overarching category of all the arts. So it would include within it art, as in, you know, paintings on the wall, drawings, paintings. It would include acting, drama. It would include, you know, cinema, movie acting. It would include any kind of pageantry. But why is this ray the ray of drama? Because the range is so large on either side of this middle point. It knows this side, it knows this side, it knows the entire continuum, and that needs to be expressed. And the fourth ray is the ray of struggle, it is the ray of humanity, and therefore it finds a way to express this, to express the struggle. And how do we express the struggle? We write about it, so it comes out through our books, through our poetry, our literature, our drama that we see played out on stage or in the movies. So the human condition is always in front of us in all these areas. And we see this in the music that is played. It can be sorrowful, it can be fun, it can be a laugh, make us laugh. All of that is an expression of the human condition. Remember, it is the umbrella or the category of the arts and would include all the arts. One of the Raylor names, and the Raylor names for all the rays are found in Esoteric Psychology 1. And if we did nothing but actually read those Raylor names and study them, we would learn so much about the ray. Now, this says trumpet. I'm afraid I didn't find a trumpet. I should go back online and find a trumpet. It is the trumpet of the Lord. The sounding of the energy of the Lord. It wakens us up, doesn't it? A trumpet. It expresses humor. Now, I know this isn't astrology, but in astrology, Mercury conveys the fourth ray. And Mercury was known, he was Hermes, and he was known as having a tremendous sense of humor. So again, within the ray itself, there is humor. There is sadness too. There is the ability to penetrate into the depths of the psyche. The fourth ray, in many, many ways, has the ability to help someone get into their own darkness, into what is buried deep within them, try to bring it to the surface so that people can try to see it in the light of day, very much like Scorpio does, Scorpio being a fourth ray sign. And so it can penetrate the depths of the psyche. The psyche is the experiences that we as a humanity have had and are continuing to have. So a little bit more information. Just chose an animal like the deer, but more important is to look at the countries. Italy is its personality. That's what the P stands for, personality. The S stands for the soul. The personality of Italy, we have to see that in Italy, you have tremendous drama. The opera is from Italy. The art that Italy has produced, the Vatican is full of the most beautiful art in the world, and it was produced in Italy. Also, for fashion, the greatest, most beautiful clothes really come from Italy. And it has never been at peace, really. It's always city-state wars occur in Italy. Another one who the fourth ray is its personality is India. Do we see the struggle within India? Do we see the opposites in India? You have so many poor people and you have a lot of rich people as well. So the contrast is tremendous in India. The suffering on the one hand and people living in palaces with the richness, with the gold on the other hand. You also see the colorfulness in their clothes, in their saris. Germany and Austria, mostly Germany during the time of the Renaissance, did produce for us beautiful, beautiful music. A lot of the music and some of the artists came from Germany. And we will see the soul of Germany come through more and more as it becomes more and more evolved. A soul is always less present than the personality. The personality is in our faces. It's the more obvious one. The soul is not. It's more subtle. And it takes a fairly evolved country to demonstrate the soul. Now, Brazil, we are told, is a fourth ray soul. Now, Brazil has a second ray personality. So you combine the two and the four. And if the second ray personality is in our faces, this is what we see. We see a rather quiet country. It's not one that has been loud. It's not one that's in our faces that much. But it is a country where beauty seems to be pronounced. We often hear of some of the nicest looking women in the world come from Brazil. The girls walking on the beach of Ipanema. Or I have heard of lots of facial surgeries, facelifts and so on happening in Brazil. Why? For beauty. And institutions, as has been said, the arts, and the United Nations for the purpose of peacekeeping. And let's look at the kinds of occupations one with a strong fourth ray would have. Of course, mediation, social work, the humanities, the arts, decorating, being a diplomat or making peace. Of course, a lot of people in Hollywood or in the entertainment fields have fourth ray strong within them. Interior design. Massage. I don't know why massage at this point. Beautification and art therapy. Now, we are told by the Tibetan that in this cycle, the fourth ray as a soul has not really been cycling in. We are told that around 2025, we will see more fourth ray cycling in. So if any of you are considering fourth ray on your vehicles, highly unlikely that it would be a soul fourth ray. Many people have fourth ray on the mind. Some have fourth ray as a personality. So that's just something to think about. Here are some individuals with fourth ray. Again, we don't know, was it soul, was it personality, but we certainly see the fourth ray coming through these individuals, like William Shakespeare and Mozart. So you have all your artists here and the literary geniuses. Henry Kissinger, because of his peacemaking. Madeleine Albright, the same thing. Jimmy Carter was known as trying to make peace in Palestine. And of course, Edgar Allan Poe, what a man with struggle, right? And what darkness he wrote about. We could even include here the Dutch artist that cut off his ear. At the moment, his name doesn't come to my mind. But other people like Robin Williams or Elizabeth Taylor, another person with a very conflicted life. Now, these are the areas that I like to spend a little time on, and that is the strengths and the weaknesses, because this is where we point out some of the qualities that we perhaps didn't mention as we went through the slides. Some of it is obvious, and I won't spend too much time on the obvious ones. It's harmony and the ability to grow both spiritually and psychologically because of struggle and crisis. Of course, peacemaking and reconciliation by now is obvious, and the facility for compromise and bridging and linking and mediation. Love of beauty and the ability to create it or express it, and refined artistic and aesthetic sensibilities. Here's a thing to consider. Fourth ray on the mind has a strong imagination. It's an intuitive ray. It's intuitive because of its large gamut of the big spread that it has, whether it's knowledge or whether it's capacity to access it. It is an intuitive quality. Love of color, and that is expressed. It can be expressed dramatically or it can be expressed through literary. The ability to amuse, to delight, to entertain, spontaneity and improvisation, which we've already covered. And it has a fighting spirit. It can play devil's advocate. It can be very argumentative. It will take the opposite just to show you a different perspective. If you find yourself using words like, let's look at it from this angle, or let me play devil's advocate, or have you considered this perspective on it? It generally shows that you work with those idea of opposites. And the fourth way can be very sensitive to dissonance. It feels life and hence can be very empathetic. Some of the weaknesses. Fourth ray personalities or on the mind can be embroiled in conflict and struggle, and that can express inwardly or outwardly. Crisis oriented. Churning, you see, it's rarely at rest. It can move from one extreme to the other. Can be easily overwhelmed, and they cannot deal with dissonance of life. The struggle part of it, they have a sensitivity to that. Or they can become self-absorbed in their own suffering or their own drama. I have a friend that I occasionally meet and we talk. Her life is so dramatic. Every little tiny problem is so blown out of proportion. And I listen to her talk about the drama of her life. It just blows me away. You can see it's not my ray. It is the ray of worry, of agitation. Why worry, you see? Because we project, and we project always worse than what it is, and we build it out of proportion. We exaggerate. Indecision. If you find yourself, I don't know, I have to think about it, I don't know, it's hard to make a decision, it can indicate maybe fourth ray on the mind. And because of being overwhelmed or so agitated, it lacks confidence. And as has been said, it can be combative and argumentative. Excessive moodiness. Now we have here extremes, manic and depression. But polar, you know, the polar problems that a lot of people have right now speaks to fourth ray. Over eager for compromise. Why? To maintain peace. And moral cowardice. So even though they're ready to fight, they can be the opposite. Opposite is contained within this ray. And when someone shows cowardice, we call them yellow. And that's the color of this ray. So cowardice can easily be seen in this ray. It can be inertia, a state of inertia, as opposed to activity or hilarity. It's the lower side of the middle, right? Inertia, indolence or lazy, and can procrastinate. These people don't make a decision right away. They put it off because that's what they do. And of course, exaggeration or overly dramatic expression. Now is the time to ask a question. I'm going to go back to seeing if your hand is up. And if you have a question, this is a good time to put your hand up and ask the question, guys. Okay, I see Vera. I have to unmute you, Vera, and I'm working on that. Unmute Vera.
No,
Hi, Vera.
hello, Eva. I accidentally pushed the hands up. I don't have any question.
Okay, that's fine. And I think I know how to do this. There we go. Anybody else have a question? Well, okay, Walter. Let me see if I can unmute you, Walter. Okay, Walter, hi.
Hello. So Ray 4 is in the middle, associated with art and beauty, and can be indecisive.
Right.
Those characteristics are also associated with the zodiac sign Libra, which makes me think, at least at first, that Libra would be a Ray 4 sign as well. But instead, I understand that Libra is a Ray 3 sign. Do you have any comments on that?
Oh, yeah. Walter, that's very astute of you. Having five planets in Libra, myself, I have battled with trying to understand Libra most of my life. And there is constantly the desire to want to balance and find harmony in the life, which are, as you say, fourth-ray attributes. The there is the thought that each one of the signs, as we have rays within us, you know, we have personality rays and we have soul rays. All we have been given thus far is only one ray for Libra. More than likely, it's his personality ray. So it is thought in the esoteric circles that ray four may be its soul ray. So that's just a consideration. Ray four obviously is distributed somehow through Libra, but the Tibetan hasn't really said that. So in all our writings and in all our communication, we don't really talk about Ray 4 being attributed to Libra because, you know, he hasn't said that. But it becomes obvious as we learn all the various qualities and we see how Libra demonstrates in the life. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Before I move on, and I'm looking at the time, I got to move on, guys. I got lots more to do. Okay, so can you lower your hand?
Annabelle
there,
had her hand. Eva, Annabelle White has her hand up.
Okay, Annabelle, you'll be the last one for right now. Otherwise, you can write your questions, and I'll try to answer them online or something. Here we go. Annabelle, hi.
Hi, Eva. I'm sorry I was late. Please go on, and I'll wait till later if I, you know, go ahead. Go on.
All right, we're going to move on to the next one, guys. I'm trying to mute you again. Okay, let's do this. I've got an hour left. I can't believe I've spent a half an hour on this. And I've only got another hour to do three. So bear with me, everybody. We move on to Ray 5. Okay. Ray 5. Well, first of all, there's something to be said for odd and even numbers. By now, you figure that out, right? Odd has a certain oddness to them, you know, like the straight lines, not soft, like the soft line. 2, 4, and 6 are on the soft side. So we're always going to see qualities of love somehow associated with 2, 4, and 6. With the hard line rays, 1, 3, 5, and 7, we're going to see an element of will or intelligence associated with those ones. Because 1 and 3 are odd numbers, and 1 is the power line, 3 is the intelligence lines. So we come across here to Ray 5, concrete knowledge or science. Its energy is one of linearity, of dissecting, sequential, moving sequential, and trying to clarify. How does it clarify and how does it shine light on things? It does it by narrowing the subject and really bright light on this subject, making it extremely bright and easy to see and understand. So therefore, we have as one of the symbols a test tube or a light bulb or a laser. A laser is a very, very narrow, extremely bright light that goes right onto the subject in order to see the minuscule, the small. And in order to understand, and by understanding the small, we can then extrapolate a lot of our knowledge to the large. Basically, that's how the fifth ray works. You will notice that its title is Concrete Knowledge or Science, not and Science. How does it do this? Through methodology, through being specific, through discrimination of the mind, through clarity, lucidity, and not being that involved, detachment. By now, you've seen some of the symbols. One of the things here that we haven't talked about is the five senses. It's about that which is concrete. And of course, the brain is a wonderful example of the fifth ray. Its exoteric color is orange. Its esoteric color is indigo blue. Does that ring a bell, indigo blue? For those that didn't attend this, the second ray discussion, it's the color of the second ray as well. So right here, we see the relationship between 5 and 2. More symbols here. It brings clarity. It illumines by shining light on the subject. The fifth ray embodies within it the principle of knowledge. It is the ray of our mental concrete mind as far as planes are concerned. That's where the mental ray lives or has its home. It doesn't mean we all have fifth ray on the mind, but a great majority of humanity does. Fifth ray is the ray of discovery. It's the ray of exploration and trying to figure things out. How does it do that? Through investigating, through research. Well, it can use a scientific method, like a process. It does always want to look at the part in order to understand the whole. And it's proof-oriented. It likes to have proof. Well, how do you know that this is so? Give me the proof. Or people that do a lot of research, for example, fact-finding, looking at all the data before making up their minds whether to buy this car or that car, or this computer and that computer, usually speaks to fifth ray on the mind. It is the ray of invention and experimentation. One way that one can tell whether someone has fifth ray on the mind is in a group. It's the person who asks questions. It asks questions. It wants to know. That's the fifth ray keyword, wanting to know, wanting to understand, and hence asks a lot of questions. In every group I've ever found myself in, I'd be the first to raise my hand and ask questions. That is my way. It's also my entryway in any social environment, and I meet new people. One way I open conversation up is by asking a question. That's my way. I have a fifth ray on the mind. It's sequencing. It repeats. It wants to get the same results when it has to do with science. And it is a predictable ray. It doesn't like, in many ways, spontaneity and being put on the spot. It's the ray that has to do with the precision and the accuracy of instruments. Unless someone has fifth ray, I'm not sure I'd want him to perform surgery on me. More fifth ray symbols that were very, very well associated or recognized. So mechanics, technology, the computer, not the World Wide Web. The web is the third ray because it is all over the place, like the web of a spider. But it's the computer. It's the working with the minute and things like this, right? The small, the chips. These are all fifth ray things. It brings utility and invention. And we're talking about moving into the Aquarian age. The Aquarius is governed by fifth ray. It'll bring us even more technology, ways to help people make their lives better. It works with matter, with things that are concrete, putting things together, taking things apart, working with cars, working with any kind of technology. Medicine, all fields of medicine, engineering, are all part of the fifth ray. Now, here is another thing to offer you. The fifth ray is the ray of the mysteries of life. Now, who would have assigned that to the fifth ray? The fifth ray wants to know. Remember that. It wants to know. And it wants to prove it. And it does that through research. And it looks into that which it doesn't know in order to try to understand it. So we are told that it'll be the fifth ray that will prove that the soul exists. It wants to understand and know. Just keep that in the back of your mind. And hence will bring us all the mysteries of life. It does that through revealing, through revelation, revealing to us that which is not known. And it does that through shining the light on something. Light reveals. And you see, the second ray is the ray of illumination. So you have the fifth ray and the second ray so working together. Raja Yoga is a fifth ray science, but it works with the soul, and the soul tends to be more a second aspect. Love, wisdom. Fifth ray wants to shine the light on everything, and it wasn't until light was discovered that tremendous revolution happened in our society. People evolved, moved out of the dark ages once we had light. The more light that is spread across a city, the more it indicates of evolution within that city. It looks to seek the source. It delineates, names things, categorizes things, works with the small parts, constantly wants to define. If you're a person who wants to understand the words that you're reading, especially the Tibetan, and you want to look things up, it says something about the mind. When I first started to read the Tibetan, I sat with a dictionary. And I would look up words to make sure I understood it because I so hungered for that knowledge. Remember, it's the ray of invention and functionality, bringing things into a practical way. And so we see that here as well in this image. We have animals, primates and apes. Why? Because they have a thumb. They have a thumb that allows them to grasp and hold on and becomes utilitarian. It can actually function the hand. France is its soul ray. Its personality is the third. You see the hard lines here for France. Many discoveries came to us from France, Louis Pasteur and others. Austria, it's its personality. Switzerland, it's probably its personality. And it is, in my estimation, Japan's mind. It has the fifth ray on the mind. Look at all the technical things that come to us from Japan. Some of the institutions are research institutions, universities, schools, you see. Schools are taught in a fifth ray style. And many children do not do well in that environment. They need things acted out. They need different modalities in which to learn. The fifth ray does not work for everybody. If you did well with schools run in a fifth ray style, then it says something about the ray on the mind. So we have all the various institutes. The post office is a fifth ray institute, pharmacy, medicine, technology, engineering, and so on, which we've already covered. And some of the vocational tendencies are basically everything that has to do with working in a practical way. So science, research, lab workers, okay, applied math, inventors, all the technology, even accountants, they work with numbers, computer programming, audiovisual, working with systems, okay? So of course, education, educational systems, weather forecasters, all your plumbers and electricians and all that kind of thing. And esoteric psychology is a fifth ray science. It's the science of the soul. And of course, some of the persons that we have are the ones that are well known. They're inventors, Webster for the Webster Dictionary. Henry Ford brought us mass production. Thomas Edison brought us the light. Al Gore and Ben Franklin brought us the postal service. Some of the strengths is the ability to think in a linear way, to go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to use numbering, you know, one and then two and then three. It's a linear way of thinking and working things out. It's keen and focused intellect. It has really good ability to analyze and to discriminate. In discrimination, we discriminate this from that. The truth from error. Accuracy and precision in thought and action. Remember, this is the ray of the small, of accuracy and precision. The ability to acquire knowledge and factual detail. Are you the kind of person that looks for the facts? Are the facts important to you? Do you describe things in detail? Do you define or do you separate? Inquiry through asking questions. I kind of covered that already. And clarity. Explaining things so that someone else can understand them with greater clarity. I used to love, I'm a skier, and I used to, when I was taking lessons way back, I used to enjoy listening to the way the instructor would instruct. And as when I became an instructor, I would try to give it to someone in a way that they could understand, to make it clear from one step to the next to the next. Detached objectivity. Obviously, a scientist cannot be involved and have their emotions there if the experiment doesn't turn out right. They have to be able to be detached and to be objective. Facility for mathematical calculations. I question that. I ain't that good at that. To discover through investigation and research. An interesting thing, some people do a lot of research before they go to another city to find out what there is to do there. Right now, online, you can do a tremendous amount of research. Is that something you do? Verify through experimentation, practical inventiveness, common sense, and the rejection of nonsense. Many people are so caught up in the common sense that they don't accept a lot of the things that we do. Whether you talk about ghosts or you talk about etheric, if they can't see it, they're not going to accept it. That is some of the weaknesses of the fifth ray. Overly mental, ultra rational. They can analyze something to death. Undeviating linearity and concreteness. Some fifth ray types have a hard time with abstract sciences, or even dealing with esoterics, which tends to be abstract, right? They require proof in matter in order to believe. They might have excessive doubt and skepticism, be harsh and criticize. We tend to think of them as having narrow and prejudiced points of view, and they may not be that open to anything that doesn't fit into that narrow and prejudiced perspective. Or rigid. Idée fixe is something I usually refer to sometimes to Ray 5. Idée fixe, rigid and set thought patterns. Sense boundedness. Again, anything that the five senses do not know doesn't exist. Excessive objectivity, lack of intuitive sensitivity. This is not an intuitive ray on most levels, okay? And they can be cool and lack emotional response and magnetism. As a matter of fact, they're very non-magnetic. Some of the scientists and some of these doctors we know are very non-magnetic, and they can be socially awkward. I gave this example the other day when I was talking about this, that we had a surgeon who worked on my father, was a heart surgeon, and he was excellent. He was so good, and invited us into his office, and we were very impressed with him and the surgery that he did on my dad. And then I had occasion to see him in a social environment, and boy, oh boy, he was so awkward. He didn't even know how to serve himself the food from the buffet, and I just couldn't help but realize how awkward he looked. And yet in his field, he was a genius. So this is question time, guys. Anything having to do with the fifth ray? So I'm going to just keep looking for your hands. Okay, now Walter, you're on again. Okay, unless somehow you hadn't lowered your hand before. Hi, Walter.
Oh, hello. My hand was accidentally up, so I didn't have it.
No questions, okay? Is that what I'm hearing? Okay. Anybody else? I guess I was so clear that there are no questions. You all have understood fifth ray. Excellent, excellent. Then we'll move on to the sixth ray. Okay, the sixth ray is known as the ray of idealism and devotion. It is the breath of God that lifts all to life. This is a key word. It lifts, raises. It is the breath that breathes the fact of the ideal, of that perfect state, of that which is transcendent, ever seeking to be recognized and embodied. Do we hear the word transcendent, which is outside of self? It's out there. And what is out there normally? It's the ideal. It's the perfect state. It's God. It is whatever one has learned in one's religion. It's outside of self. It is the divine relation that God has with all its creation. In that regard, it brings joy, it brings ecstasy and bliss in recognizing that all is related to God. The sixth ray, therefore, is the ray of the desire of deity to have all that was sent forth as his creation return back to the source. And how does it do that? It is the desire to uplift all back up. It's a big, tall order to uplift all back up. The sixth ray, then, is not about what is in matter, which the fifth ray was all about, what is in matter. It is about what is not in matter. What is it that's not in matter? It's the goal. It's the archetype. It's that which is pristine or holy or sacred. It's the ideal. Got it? See how we can see that? Since the ray conveys the ideal, it offers purity and the measure by which we determine what is pure, what is good enough, and what is worthiness. So the bar of achievement is always high. So if you find yourself always trying to measure up or not consider yourself not being good enough for whatever, or you're not worthy of this, I don't deserve this, I'm not worthy of this, then there has to be sixth ray within the system. It is a very, very powerful ray. It's been around since the Piscean Age started. It's almost 2,500 years that we have lived under the Piscean Age and know the sixth ray. All religions were birthed through this sixth ray time and age. And the United States is a sixth-ray country. So more than anything, people that live in the United States know this ray and know it well. And it is the ray of our emotions for the most part. More than 50% of humanity have the sixth ray as their emotional vehicle. So it's a very, very powerful ray at this time. Let's continue with looking at idealism, which is a little bit different than devotion. So remember, it's abstract. It's outside of the current state of expression and always will be. The ideal is never in. It's always held high, outside of self. Therefore, the sixth ray is the ray of abstracting out of matter, of the transcendent, of the visionary, of the optimist, uplifting action, being goal-oriented. Also buoyancy, because buoyancy lifts one up. You're buoyant. You're not sinking in the water. You're up. It is also the ray of humility because the ideal is so perfect. And how can we be that ideal? And searching and seeking. So in this, you can see Sagittarius, right? It's related to the first ray through its ability to be focused, one-pointed, and a narrow band of focus. Sorry about the ringing bells back here. It's the ray of devotion as well. So how do we differentiate devotion from idealism? Deity is devoted to see that its creation thrives. This is what births the quality of human devotion, which then looks like loyalty or selfless caring and self-sacrifice. It is the gift that it receives from the second ray of love. So devotion carries within it a quality of love, which is a little different than idealism. Being humanized, we become devoted to a person or to a cause or to an ism. So all of this covers the area of faith, of passion, heat, martyrdom, because of the devotion that we have to whatever it is that we have it for. It's the mysticism and the mystical experience. As a ray of giving and service orientation, it tends towards overextension. It's the ray of the immediate or impulsive action, and therefore much action. In this way, it's very much related to the ray of activity, which is the third ray. It is both the tireless worker, sincere, and earnest. Notice these words. These are key words for sixth ray, sincere and earnest, as well as the self-critical judge, being really hard on oneself. Always judging oneself, not being good enough, or I shouldn't have done this, all the shoulds that one does to oneself. It is the ray of inspiration and the inspiring voice. The sixth ray tends towards heat. The temperature is minimally warm, usually towards hot, like the flames of desire. So we look at some of the energy. As mentioned, it's uplifting. It's one-pointed, and in that way, it's single, one-pointed. Unswerving, once it has its eye on the goal, very little will allow it to deviate from the goal. And its symbols are praying hands, all the things associated with a religion, a flag shows loyalty to a nation. A halo shows having reached a certain state of the ideal. And a rose or a lily, you know, it pulls out of a certain sentiment. Why a dog and a horse? Because it looks up to its master. It's loyal to its master. And qualities of humility, sacrifice, faith, and optimism. Its color is blood red on the exoteric level, or silvery rose on the esoteric level. And again, we'll go through a bunch of different slides so you get a sense of the ray of the sixth ray. The ideal is always held high. And it's interesting that it was France with its third and fifth ray that offered the United States a symbol that is so sixth ray. It had the know-how of what to offer the United States. See how high it holds its symbol? And here you have a picture of two icons in humanity's experience that held the ideal up for humanity. Both of them were inspiring and uplifting. In any form of faith, doesn't matter whether it's around now or it was around at a different time, the ideal is always held in front of our eyes. This is a quote from EP1, Esoteric Psychology. It embodies the principle of recognition, the ability to see the ideal that lies behind the form. A one-pointed application of desire, a key word here, and intelligence in order to produce an expression of that sensed idea. First there's the idea, then it becomes the ideal. And then it sinks into men's mind and then is distributed to humanity. That's how all religions have been given. Okay. Some more pictures here for you to look at. All forms of worship. It's loyalty, and in that there is patriotism. And what country is the most patriotic? And that is United States. It's the ray of devotion, selfless, personal sacrifice. It's the hero. Driven, that's another key word, driven, chasing that goal, determined, single-minded, single focus, much like the horse. The horse is a wonderful symbol for the sixth ray because it has tunnel vision. Tunnel vision, you know, that's why they have the blinkers on so that don't get distracted and they stay right on the path that they need to go. They are single-minded. As a matter of fact, a horse would go over a cliff in its rush, in its forward motion, without thought. See, there's no thought in this. It is intensity. Six ray can be very, very intense. It can be very, very austere in its simplicity. The ray of the transcendent. And there's so many of our religious pictures give us that idea, right? The image of God. It's so inspiring. It is the ray of warriorship. Now, why warriorship? Up till now, we've seen a relatively soft side of the sixth ray. That of devotion, that of loyalty, that of holding the image up. And devotion carries with it love. So where does warriorship come in and fighting? Well, if you believe in something so strongly, you're going to fight for your beliefs. And that's how the sixth ray becomes the warrior. They fight for what they believe in, whether it is a person, an ism, a religion. It brings with it the fighting spirit, militarism. People will fight for what they believe. Whether it was the First World War, the Second World War, what is going on now in the world, it doesn't matter. And with it, there is passion. Passion has to do with one's emotions. And sixth ray governs our emotions, our astrality. Many times, our loyalties can be blind. You know, you don't see. You just see what's in front of you, what you believe in. It can be so one-pointed and narrow. It cannot see the wider point of view. Interesting the way the garb around the face makes it so that it's a narrow vision. Now, it's also the ray of gratitude, appreciation, and admiration. Upliftment through coaching, through teamwork, through being buoyant and laughing and positive attitude. Sixth ray personalities are a lot of fun. Because they are full of life. So the salmon is in here as an animal because it's so determined to go to its goal. It'll fight and go upstream and get, you know, thrown on the rocks and almost get killed. Look at the countries, both personality for the United States and Russia as personality. And weren't they in you know, resonating there, whether Cold War or not, they're always kind of at each other because they resonate together. It's Italy's soul. You know, the Pope is in Italy. The religion, the Catholicism is in Italy. It's its soul ray. Some of the institutions, some of the positive ones are the various charities, the United Way, religions, Peace Corps, all activism. Motivational speakers, personal trainers, the ministry. Now we move into some negative stuff here, like the Crusaders. They fought for what they believed in. The Ku Klux Klan, the Spanish Inquisition. Political campaigns show such loyalty. The jihad and sports team. There's so much rah-rah-rah around sports team and campaigns. Oops, sorry. Vocational tendencies, promotions, fundraising, coaching, charity, religious work, crusading, preaching, and so on. And of course, here are some people that are very well known. You know, Gloria Steinem, you had Vince Lombardi here, St. Francis of Assisi, and so on. Strengths, of course, the upliftment tendency, devotion of faith, self-sacrifice, power to arouse, inspire, and persuade, optimism, persistence, loyalty and adherence, earnestness and sincerity, humility, innocence. They can be very open and receptive to spiritual guidance. This is an interesting thing. They can hear voices like Joan of Arc. They can attract to themselves entities that are not necessarily on this plane. there is a receptivity to guidance. They can be followers until they learn to be leaders. As they become more evolved, they do the leading. But for the longest time in one's evolution, sixth ray is the follower. Purity, goodness. As I've had many, many sixth ray students, it was very interesting to receive their homework and their papers. There's always something in there that asks for, well, is this okay? Am I on the right track? What do you think of this? You can see how they're asking for approval and okay from someone that they either admire or have respect for. The ability to abstract and reach heights of mysticism, ecstasy, and rapture. On the downside, negativities that come from devotion. See, this is a ray that does not, there's not a thinking ray. It's a feeling ray. So devotion without independent thought, which means that there could be codependence, devoted to a person, a spouse, a lover, anything that one is loving. Blind faith, fanaticism, militarism. You see, in all of this, there is no thought. Self-righteous and serious. I don't know about you, but I find having discussions on religion really, really hard because most people become so self-righteous. They take a position and they fight that position. Dependency and codependency. Absolutism. This is exactly what I mean. Black and white, right or wrong. No shades of gray. This is my truth. And my truth is the right truth. Gullibility, overtrusting, naivete. They personalize. How many people do you know? You tell a story and before you know it, they're talking about themselves. Well, you know, when this happened to me or whatever it is, they take it and they personalize. And emotionalism and jealous love. These are some of the negatives that are born of idealism. Unattainable goals, totally unrealistic. Impractical, or the perfectionism, they drive themselves crazy because it's hard to live up to that perfectionism. So therefore they self-negate, they self-criticize, they have this need to measure up. It's the shoulds that I talked about earlier. This is where you have denial or escapism, and that's why alcoholism or escapism via drugs or any kind of escapism is included in this kind of addiction that we refer to here. Unwise susceptibility to guidance, whether it's a guru, whether it's discarnate individuals, whatever it is, it's unwise because there's no thought associated with it. Excess, extreme, hyper intensity, overdoing, too much activity, self-abasement, being masochists or martyrs. And I am not going to ask for questions now. I'm going to see if I can go to number 7. Hold your question. Keep it in mind. Or write it down. I want to make sure that I can finish this with all of you, and then I'll open it up to questions. Okay? I hope everybody's okay with that. Let me just make this a little larger. Okay, we're on to the 7th ray. Again, it's a hardline ray. It's the ray of ceremonial, magic, and organization. It is the lowest. You know, if you start with one at the top, 7 is the most closest to the earth plane, closest to the plane of manifestation and physical plane life. It is just trying to see if I can build on that. It is the ray that is rhythmic, it's cyclical, it self-organizes, and it's the ray that builds, and you build on the material plane. Its quality is order, and the word transformation, it has to do a lot with form. And any of the words that have the word form in them will apply to seventh ray, whether it's reform, transform, conform, deform. All these words with form are seventh ray words. It is the ray that manifests, makes things happen. You see the word formality, the word inform, and formula, and uniform. All of these have the word form in it. Those are seventh ray words. It is the ray that does things in a rhythmic way again and again and again, which leads to ritual. And because of the magic, we've got the magic wand, we've got the crystal that has its own patterns. We have a map that, again, lays things out in a pattern of sorts. And the beaver who was a builder. So here's some more things to look at. Its color exoterically is white, esoterically is violet. Many of you are very familiar with violet. It's the ray of the ethers, etheric, and the etheric vision many people are starting to have. It is the ray that has to do with the etheric vehicle, and the etheric vehicle and physical vehicle go to hand in hand. So you can see how that has to do with the form. Also, many people use the violet color to create an environment to meditate in, whether it's a cloth, a pillow, a purple. They use purple and violet to bring the devas down into form. So it's the ray of pattern and all patterns in nature. Building the form. I have a lot of these slides, so I won't spend too much time on them. It just gives you a sense. It's the easiest to get because it's the ray that's going to be coming into manifestation more and more as it's Uranus that conveys the seventh ray, and that is one of the rulers of the sign of Aquarius. It systematizes, it creates systems as opposed to working with systems. The fifth ray worked with systems, the seventh ray creates the system. It's the ray of architecture. And of course, creating the form that will allow the divine to come through. So the more the form can allow the beauty of divinity to shine through, it is more in line with that which is divine. It's also the ray of ecology and keeping the earth and the planet safe and working well. And that's what the vice president-to-be was all about, right? Al Gore was all about ecology, and ecology is more and more we are recognizing the changes of climate and trying to keep our planet Earth functioning well. That is the ray of ecology, the seventh ray. So we have the, again, creating patterns and puzzles and putting things together. Puzzles was also a fifth ray quality as well, and dissecting and taking things apart. Pomp and ceremony. Rituals. The perfection of the form. Now, we had the same picture for the arts, but that was the arts. This is to show you grace within the form, the poise, and that which is can be very, very delicate. The seventh ray can be on any, can be on the soul. It can be on the personality, not so much in the mind as some of the other rays, but it can also be the form, the physical body. And if your physical body needs its patterns, needs its rituals in order for it to feel comfortable, not for you to feel comfortable, but for the body to feel comfortable, it is the second most popular ray on the body. It is the ray of the mineral kingdom, and both the first ray of hardness and the seventh ray, both together, are the rays of the mineral kingdom. Again, we see the pattern in matter. A crystal is built up of patterns within. It's formality. The word form is in there, you see, and how to behave, all to do the appropriate, the right things in behavior. So it Here you have Martha Stewart. For those of us that remember, being on stage here, you forget everything. My mind just goes totally blank. I can't remember in my day who was the woman who took the place of Martha Stewart. It'll come to me at another time. Anyway, here you have formality, grace, entertaining, very Libran-like. And even though Libra doesn't convey the seventh ray, Uranus does, and Uranus is one of the rulers of Libra. It's the court of law, justice, and following rules, obeying the law and order. See the word order in law and order? City planning, orientation. Surveying and mapping. It's the ray of the etheric field, the electromagnetic energy, and Curlian photography, as is seen in this image. It also is the ray that it has to do with the etheric field within the system, and therefore the ley lines in the world, or the Chinese medicine works with our etheric. It rules the Deva kingdom, all the Devas that work within the etheric, the elementals. Okay, we have here as one of its animal, the beaver, which builds, the bee makes the honeycomb, the salmon we've talked about, the monarch butterfly, the idea of birds making nests, and termites. The country is Spain, and Seoul for Russia. That's why Russia has brought us, the bending of spoons, and a lot of spiritualism has come from Russia. Canada, its personality. And I had the pleasure of being in Spain a number of years ago, and I couldn't get over how clean, if I may use that word, the bathrooms were, how absolutely the ceramic tiles just shone with cleanliness and orderliness. I was very impressed with Spain from that perspective. So what kind of institutions are we looking at? Court of law, architecture, ecology and conservation. So you have places like the Sierra Club, the Greenpeace, the Audubon Society, museums and libraries. Vocational tendencies is, working in management, or organizing, or administrating, design, building, craftsmen, construction, architecture, ritual, choreography, dance, kinesiology, beauticians, system management, city planners, and here you have some people that were strong seventh ray types. You have Walt Disney here because he brought magic, right? He brought magic for children. Marie Curie, she worked with radium, which is a seventh ray product. She worked with the mineral kingdom. You have some people like Benjamin Franklin, who gave us the postal system, or the decimal system by John Dewey, Frank Lloyd Wright. Emily Post was the person I was thinking of before, and so on. Some of the strengths is, of course, creating order, power to manifest, and to work efficiently upon the material plane. If you find yourself describing yourself as being very efficient in doing things, the word efficient, if it comes out of your mouth, that might say something about the personality ray. Tendency to plan and organize. As a seventh ray person, I'm very, very comfortable with planning and organizing. And I think I'm very efficient, so there's no doubt. Managing detail. Coordinating groups, ritual and ceremony, power to build, to renovate and to transform, power to synthesize parts, to bring together parts, and a good sense of rhythm and timing, power as a magician, and the power to work with devas and elemental forces. And some of the weaknesses is you can get so rigid in your routines, and orderliness, and a lot of people become very compulsive, about their routines and moving things around in their homes. I remember visiting a friend who also had a seventh ray personality, and I sat on the sofa, and when I got up, she went and puffed up the pillow behind me, and I just went, oh, I couldn't believe that. I too have seventh ray, but that's just something that would never enter my thinking. So you can see how that rigidness of that orderliness was there. Routinization, becoming too invested in our routines to the point of if we move away from that routine, we're very, very uncomfortable. So you become subservient to those kinds of habits. And crystallized, overly rigid, inflexible, structured or planned, not spontaneous or adaptable. Seventh ray is not a ray of spontaneity. It needs to be comfortable in its knowingness and its routine and knowing its conformity and knowing what to expect. It actually likes the status quo. Change is a little frightening for seventh ray. Over-concerned with rules and regulations to the point that they follow the dead letter of the law. Forget the meaning behind it. It's following the dead letter of the law, even though it may not make sense. Hard to change patterns. This is where you have your compulsive obsessive behavior. Addicted to patterns. Excessive perfectionism of the form. Even though this may sound a little bit like Virgo, from what we know, Virgo right now does not convey the seventh ray. Maybe on one of its vehicles it does, but there's a lot of similarity here, especially with the weaknesses that we give to Virgo. Judgment based on appearances. Seventh ray is so much into the form and the appearances that they are quick to judge. Addiction to occult phenomena, to spiritualism, which works with the Ouija boards and ghosts and all that kind of stuff, and dark magical arts. Okay, guys, I think it's question time, and I still have time. So if you have any questions, now is the time. You can ask any questions on any of the rays, but since I didn't give you time for 6 and 7, this is a good time. So Karen, I see your hand is up. Hi, Karen.
Hello, how are you?
I'm really good, thanks, Karen.
Good. Oh, thanks. Thanks so much, Eva. Hey, just quick question. I got really a little confused in Ray 6 and a tiny bit in 7. But on 6, how separate are the idealism versus devotion? Because what if I see devotion strongly, but I don't see the idealism? And what I mean is, are they both equally available and to the sixth ray person, wherever that may be with that person?
And that's a good question. That's a good question for pertaining to all the rays in this way, because what we have offered, what I've offered you here, is the large and entire gamut of what's available within a ray. And no one person has everything within that ray. Each one of us appropriates certain energies and we make it our own. The example I gave you of the seventh ray of this person that I knew, how different she demonstrated the seventh ray versus me. Okay, as an example with that pillow and the puffing up.
Well, and that was the rigidness part. But
right. Now, let me tell you about the sixth ray. Some people are much more into the idealism end of it. Some people are much more into the devotion.
Right.
Okay, so it doesn't mean that you have to have a strong both of them within one person.
Okay.
Got that? Now, if it's a soul, like my husband, I believe, is a sixth ray soul. I don't see devotion that much there. I see more idealism. He holds the ideal really, really high of what life should be like, of what marriage should be like, of what humanity ought to be like. So in him, I see the ideal a lot more than I see the devotion, as an example.
Would it be safe to say also, but on the devotion side, that there also shoulds, that there shoulds be on the intensity of the devotion side too?
Well, the should, sixth ray is so good with the shoulds, especially if it's especially if it's on the personality level. It's always right. About the bar being high, irrespective of whether it's devotion or whether it's idealism. Okay. The bar is held high. And if the bar is high, You know, measuring up to that high bar is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have an ideal, we become devoted to the ideal, you see. So both of them can be present.
But mostly six is on emotion, you said, right?
Six governs our emotions. So the way, if it's not on the soul, but if it's on the personality, there's excitement, there is energy, and it's very easy for sixth ray to show passion. You know, it's not as a gentle ray like the second ray on a personality level is. If anything, that second ray retreats, doesn't extend forward on a personality level. The sixth ray can be passionate. Now, you can have people on the sixth ray that are on the earnest, sincere, humility side of the sixth ray, and that's a totally different energy. So within the sixth ray, you can have different ways that people express it. I hope I haven't confused you.
No, not at all. Thank you so much.
Okay. Anybody else there? I'm going to see if I can see another hand up. Now, can you lower your hand? Annabelle. Okay. Unmute. Hi, Annabelle.
Hi. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks, Annabelle.
I love it when you teach. It's so clear. This is going to be probably a stupid question for a beginner, but can we have qualities from more than one ray in our personality? I mean, or do we have to find that one ray that is the most dominant?
Okay, we are generally looking at five rays. Okay, one of them is the soul. It's the one that is not as obvious, as I said. Soul is subtle. Then there's the personality, and the personality is your identity, you as Annabelle. It's the one that others greet when they meet you or you are in their faces. That's your personality. Then there is the mind, the ray on the mind, and the ray of the mind oftentimes colors how we see ourselves, what we think about ourselves, how we put all these things into, how we take and integrate all this material. So the ray of the mind sometimes overshadows what one thinks the personality might be. It's not necessarily what others see, but it's how one senses the ray within themselves. That's already three. And then you have the ray of the emotions and the ray of the physical body. So there are possible, sometimes there's overlap. Sometimes you could have a sixth ray emotional and a sixth ray personality. Or you can have a second ray personality and a second ray emotional. Or you can have a second ray soul and a second ray emotional. But in general, you're looking at five different kinds of energies and how they express themselves.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Let's see if there's anybody else with their hands up. Oh, I don't believe this. Everybody knows their stuff so well. Isn't that wonderful? We still have 3 minutes, guys. Ask a question or give a comment if you don't want to ask a question. Okay, Karen, you're up. You're on again. Wonderful. Go ahead, Karen.
Okay, hey, so then when we try and we're looking for the energies in people that are living around us, the first thing that I think of myself and my husband and my family members and close friends, and then how extrapolating that out into the world, I'm finding a little bit more challenging of figures that are out in our public and in our domain. Is there an easy way to do that?
You know, the first thing to do is to become familiar with the qualities pertaining to each ray. The more we understand what qualities go with each ray, then it becomes a little easier to see it around us, to see it in people on TV, celebrities, people in the news. And then we start to look at our family. Family is always the hardest to do, so it's not the first place I'd ask you to start analyzing.
Oh, okay.
Because they are so much part of our lives that we see so many different energies and behaviors that it's very hard to be objective. It's a lot easier to do it with people like friends or characters that we see on TV, because then we're going to see their personality pretty well. Mm-hmm. Before you can do any of that, you got to familiarize yourself with the qualities of that ray. Okay?
Good. Okay, thanks, Eva.
You're welcome. Well, guys, I think our time is just about up. I thank you very much for attending. This has been an absolute joy. I love rays, and I love talking rays. And I'm going to unmute you all and see if there's anybody that wants to say anything. Okay, why isn't that? I don't know how to do this.
Muted.
I'll do it.
Thank you, Eva. You're wonderful.
Unmuted.
Okay, guys, you're all unmuted. So if anybody wants to speak up, you can speak up. I don't have to go through the jumping through hoops to unmute you. I just want to say that we will be offering to the students more student webinars, planning to do a different kind of webinar beginning of May, which will address probably Quest Universal Level 1 with questions and comments that you all have. And hopefully this will become a modus operandi that will be more comfortable for everybody. I think it's a great tool to have that we didn't have a number of years ago. And I'm very grateful to be able to use this approach with all of you.
It really helps.
Thank you. I've taught the rays many, many times in person, and so I get feedback and I get to see people's expression. So from that perspective, it's a little bit blind talking to a screen, you know. I don't get to see whether or not it's understandable, and my greatest joy is to illumine something for someone so that they can get it. Since there were no questions, I'm assuming you all have gotten it. So for that, I thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to sign
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. By the way, if there are any questions that do come up, do post them in the student union area. You can address them to me, post them in student union, and I will be able to see them and be happy to answer anything. One of the things we cannot cover in this kind of presentation are the vehicles. The vehicles is a whole other area that I could do a whole webinar on, to see which rays pertain to the mind, which rays pertain to the emotions and the physical.
Oh, please do it.
That would be wonderful.
Yes, please.
Okay. So, well, I'll keep that in mind to do. It really, really puts it all in place, because now that you know the qualities of the rays, then it's a matter of, well, where to place them within oneself. So I'll keep that in mind and see if I can offer that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, bye all.
Bye. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you so much. Good night. Bye, Eva.
Bye. So what do I do now? Stop recording?
It just shows the other way around what your instructions were, because when I have the arrow down and it's red, then I am unmuted, and you actually in the beginning you said when the arrow shows
That's okay. When the arrow is up means your hand is up, it's raised. When the arrow is down, it just means your hand is down again.
But no, it's the other way around. I have it now. It's now showing as arrow down and red. And you said, Vera, go ahead.
Uh-huh. Oh, maybe I didn't remove it from before. I don't know. I don't know enough about the technology. Sorry, Vera.
Similar, but I learned my system. Thank you. So I'm looking forward for the next one.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.